Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how do we help our children who may be struggling with reading and comprehension at their grade level. We as parents see that they are intelligent at home and are capable of many activities such as sports, science, art. We simply don't understand why they cannot learn how to read or write or understand directions that are given to them. Tonight, we focus on how we as parents and teachers can advocate for our children who have difficulty with language and language processing. How can we help our students get self-confidence and prepare them for college life and beyond? My guests this evening are David Mendluski, head of the Hillside School in Mukunji, whose mission is to serve students who have language-based learning disabilities from grades K through 8, and Nicole Cadwallader, who is the mother of a 12-year-old son who has dyslexia and dysgraphia and is a student at Hillside, and she's also the director of admissions at Hillside School. It's a pleasure to have you both, and I welcome you to WDIY.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about Hillside School, and you've just taken over as the head of Hillside School.
Correct.
In Mukunji.
Correct. The Hillside School is a school that's designed for kids with language-based learning disabilities, also dyslexia, ADHD, and other neurological impairments as well.
And how did you become interested in the school, Nicole?
I became interested because my son has dyslexia and dysgraphia, and he attended Hillside for second, third, and fourth grade, and he is back for seventh grade and eighth next year.
Now, tell us, we hear the words, and everybody has heard these words, dyslexia, dysgraphia, but what exactly do they mean, and what do they refer to?
Sure.
Dave?
Learning disabilities are caused by a difference in the brain structure that's really present at birth and is often hereditary. Learning disabilities affect the way the brain processes information. This processing is the main function that's involved in learning. And these learning disabilities can really impact how somebody learns to read, write, hear, speak, or calculate math problems. Many kinds of learning disabilities can affect people differently.
Yeah, and how about yourself? How did you became interested in, because your child had dysgraphia and dyslexia. Can
yes.
you tell us what does that mean?
That means that my son is bright, and when he was much younger in public school, I could see that there was a discrepancy between what appeared to be his intelligence and how he was performing in school. He had a difficult time remembering his letters. He had a difficult time consistently recalling numbers and colors. So we waited until he was in first grade and had him evaluated independently outside of the school by a psychologist to see if he possibly had a learning disability. And they did find one, and we felt that the best placement for him was over at the Hillside School because they specialize in helping children with learning disabilities. So that's how I became involved.
Now, this is an interesting topic for me because I have four children, and three of them growing up had difficulties in school. One could learn to read, and he read everything, did his homework very attentively. And then when you ask, tell us, what was the story about? He couldn't remember a thing. And I had another son who couldn't understand, who could not follow the words of the teacher he could not learn to read. He could not learn to recognize the words, but he could understand everything that the teacher said in class. And he had a wonderful memory. However, he could not take an exam and put down the correct information because he couldn't make out the questions. Mm-hmm. And he also could not write very well. But we advocated for him and had them get somebody, an aide, to come in and let him give the answers to tests, and the aide would write it down. and he was able to function that way. He learned to read when he was about 13. And I must say, all of my children went to college and are functioning well. And as they say, how are you, Mom? And I say, how are you? Mom, we've got a job. That's the big thing. So tell us.
Well, typically, you know, a learning disability tends to infer that children cannot learn. But we know that this isn't true. They can learn, but they need specific instructional methods in order for them to learn appropriately. So that's what we do at the Hillside School. We can teach to their specific learning need. And the way that they learn is what we really try to teach to as well. So if a kid's a visual learner or an auditory learner or a hands-on kinesthetic type learner, we can teach to those specific learning needs.
Can you give us an example?
So this year, Air Products donated a science lab to our building. And we now have a hands-on multisensory science lab where kids can work with digital microscopes, and they can actually take a sample of a cell from their cheek, look at it in a microscope, and take print copies of it too, so that they can look at it in front of them and see it. So they're learning from a PhD biologist who teaches them exactly what they need to learn through some of these multisensory methods that we use.
So that a child who is able to perhaps has difficulty reading, they are able to take the cells from their own mouth and look at it on
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. Totally amazing. And it's a multisensory approach. That's what we mean. It's not only talking about the cells in your mouth. It's about seeing it visually.
Physically removing them. Putting it in a microscope to see. And
also putting them on the computer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you have everything going. That is amazing.
We have the technology available to do that. That's very important. For our students, they need that assistive technology. And that's one of the things that we really specialize in as well.
And are there other ways without the technology that are multisensory?
That of course.
Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. What we do with our Project Read program is we teach kids how to divide words into syllables, and that gets physical too. They use their arms, they use their hands, and we ask them how many syllables are in a word, and they're able to pick those syllables out of a word by pronouncing each syllable and using their arm to divide it into syllables. So it's a very hands-on program to learn reading.
So it's not only recognizing letters, it's not only recognizing that words have syllables. It is using a multi-sensory approach is the best way I can describe it. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this is your host, Eleanor Bobro, and I'm talking today with David Mendluski, who is the head of the Hillside School in McCungie, Pennsylvania, and I'm also talking with Nicole Cadwalader, who is the mother of a 12-year-old son who has dyslexia and dysgraphia and is also the director of admissions at Hillside School. Now, tell us, what is dysgraphia? We've talked a little bit about dyslexia, but what is dysgraphia, Nicole?
Dysgraphia, how I see it in my son, is he has wonderful ideas when it comes to writing. He has an extensive vocabulary. He's very bright. He is able to tell me what he's thinking. When he sits down to organize those thoughts and use the words on paper, it gets lost in translation between his brain and coming out of his arm. There are too many steps in between to try to get it, all of that information and those wonderful vocabulary words and the sentence structure and spelling everything correctly becomes overwhelming. And he regresses then to writing very simple sentences and using very simple vocabulary. So a lot of times at home or at school, we spend a lot of time trying to organize his thoughts, make them so that they're visual, that he'll write, for example, the topic sentence in the center of the paper, or he can put it on the computer screen in the center, and then create his ideas. He branches them off the center so it almost looks like a web, and he writes down the sentences that he needs for that, or sometimes even I will write them down so he doesn't have to worry about that creative part of it. And then he sits down. After he's done organizing his thoughts, he then is able to take the information and create sentences from that.
And that helps him.
Yes.
And that helps him to feel that he is able to function and do the assignment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because so many times children want to succeed and they take down the assignment and then they come home and then, number one, they forget it. Number two, they can't organize it. Number three, even they can organize it, they don't really know how to proceed.
Well, we believe that dyslexia and learning disabilities are lifelong. So students struggling with them early in life, they're going to struggle with them throughout their lives. So if we teach them early enough to use programs that Nicole was referring to and how to use them effectively, that's going to help them when they go on to high school, when they go on to college. All of our kids are college bound. They know they're going to college. They're learning what they need right now when they're in kindergarten through eighth grade to take on those challenges that they're going to face. So they're learning to accommodate. They're learning to become a self-advocate and tell their teachers when they go to high school and when they go to college what their needs are. Do they need extended time on tests? Do they need a reader? Do they need someone to take notes for them? All of these services are available to our kids.
Well, that is very special because that means that, number one, you help the child to accept their problem and yes. to look upon it as something that they need to cope with and not to deny.
That's correct.
Number two, you then give them the tools to say to whomever, their teacher or outside of the school, this is the help that I need. This is a problem I have. I need the following help. Can you assist me?
Yes.
And I think you've said it the right way, too, when you say tools. So we're creating a toolbox for them to have, to rely on when they're no longer at Hillside, when they're moving on to high school and when they're moving on to college.
We're going to talk more about how Hillside School helps children with dyslexia and learning disabilities when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Cedarcrest College School of Adult and Graduate Education, offering graduate programs and professional certificates to further your education and strengthen your resume. Learn more at sagecedarcrest.edu, sage.cedarcrest.edu.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. Today we're talking with David Mendluski, head of the Hillside School in Mukunji, and Nicole Cadwallader, the mother of a 12-year-old son who has dyslexia and dysgraphia. And we're talking about how do we help our children who have learning disabilities and dyslexia in our homes and in our school. And David, how do we help our children at home? Because sometimes we as parents find that the children, and Nicole, how do we help them at home? Sometimes they're so disorganized. We ask them to get something at the top of the stairs, and they go up to the top of the stairs, and they can't remember.
Right.
And then we as parents become annoyed. I just told you.
Yes.
How can you, you know, how come you keep forgetting? Tell us about how we can be helpful.
I personally simplify directions, especially when my son was younger. I would make sure I only gave him 1 to 2 step directions. For example, I would say, go upstairs and brush your teeth. And then I would have him repeat that back to me, and then he'd have to go do it immediately. Because a lot of times he would get distracted along the way, play on the stairs, find a toy, and he wouldn't do what I said, and it would turn into frustration and yelling on my part, not understanding why such a smart kid was not able to follow through with what was being asked. I also found that a chart at home. We had a checklist when he got a little bit older and was able to read, or initially we started with pictures. He was able to check off what he needed to do in the morning for his routine to get ready to go to school so that he was on time.
I also think it's important to establish a routine early and stick to that routine and be consistent and communicate regularly with your children about what you're teaching them, what you're teaching them to organize and how to stay organized. And we do that at the Hillside School, and there's a connection then. So there's a transition from school to home and home to school. And what we do to keep that communication up with teachers and parents is we have a home book. So there's regular communication between the parents at home and the teachers at school so that everybody's on the same page. We know what we're working on to help each student.
The most annoying thing that parents find is the inability of many children. Maybe they have an auditory processing problem where they don't get the language, where they find when they give the child a direction, it goes over the head, just as we were talking about.
Yes.
You were talking about with your son. But that has become a major sense of annoyance and irritation to many parents. They just don't get it. But what you're saying is develop a chart with photographs.
Yes.
Develop consistency with a routine. And do you have a program at the school that helps parents to understand these problems?
Yes, we do. We have it's called the HELPS program. So we have a school counselor who speaks with parents once a week on a variety of topics that parents can come in and learn more about how to work with their kids at home.
And do the parents and the parents have to follow through on this? They have to do
yes.
their homework.
Yes,
they do.
Yes, that's very important. And have the parents found this group to be helpful?
Absolutely. We have parents come in every week to speak with our school counselor on, again, just how to organize kids at home, how to keep them organized, how to communicate with your children, how to talk to them about their difficulties that they're having in school. It's a comprehensive program. And in that, our school counselor does meet with small groups of students as well, small groups and individual.
So there's a comprehensive program at the school to help them learn, to help them understand their social and emotional problems, and to also help the parents as well. Now, what can parents do if they begin to wonder if their children are having a reading issue?
So there's usually early in life, there's a delay in achieving certain developmental milestones when most other aspects of development are normal.
So
there's a delay. It could be a sign of a learning disability. Delays include problems with language, motor delays, problems with socialization, difficulty organizing. So those are things that we look for early on to say, hey, you might want to go and get your son or daughter some testing done so that they can have an accurate diagnosis so we know what we're dealing with.
And how about, what did you find? What were the symptoms that led you to search out the Hillside School, Nicole?
I noticed that my son, there was a big discrepancy in what I felt he was capable of doing and how he was actually performing in school. That during conference time or report card time, the message seemed to be pretty consistent that he was performing at the bottom of his class. And I knew as a mother intuitively or innately that that's not where he belonged, that there was something off, there was a discrepancy there. So we watched for a little while, and by the time he was in first grade, it was very evident he was not able to remember his sight words. And he would have to try to sound them out every single time. That reading really became painful. So we pursued it further, and we decided to take him outside of the school district and have him evaluated independently. And we went through some IQ testing. And using that compared to what I was seeing at home, what the teacher was seeing at school, we put that all together and determined that our son had a learning disability.
Typically, I think parents will wait and will take the advice of their school district and hold off and maybe try to put some programs together at home, whether it's help with homework or a tutor. And what happens is they find out later on then that there was a problem. And there is a problem, and there will continue to be a problem. And that wait-and-see kind of approach is something that I would really discourage. If you really think there is a problem, address it right away.
You know, I want to go over, we may have gone over it in the first part of the program, but there are so many types of learning disabilities, and there's also dyslexia. I think we need to help our parents and our audience understand what they can look for. We have a general idea of what we can look for. Number one, you've already mentioned, Nicole, that your son had a very high IQ,
yes,
but he was not functioning at that level in school, so there was a problem.
Yes.
What are the other symptoms that we can be aware of?
Sure. Just trouble with pronouncing words, trouble with reading comprehension, that's understanding what you read, trouble with reading fluency, trouble processing information. So language-based learning disabilities have to do with language processing. So are they having difficulty understanding what you're telling them? The examples that Nikki came up with her son. Or it could be that they're having difficulties with reading fluently. Their reading is very choppy. Or it could be difficulties with comprehension. They might be a fluent reader, and they can scan text and read it to you perfectly, but they don't know what they read. They're going to have difficulties understanding, like you mentioned, with your son. They're going to have difficulties understanding what they've read. And there are also difficulties with math calculations, dyscalculia, it's called. So there are problems with numbers and simple math.
Well, now I get it. I guess I never knew that I had a problem with math. I always thought it was me. My father was very interested in math. He went to the eighth grade, and he got an award in math, and he wanted me to become a math genius. And I think I had a problem with math.
I feel your pain, Eleanor.
I always said that when I was in high school and I took a Regents in New York State, they had Regents, they had to find a way to get me out of the math program. They knew it. And so they gave me the automatic 65. I think I had 63. But they found a way to find two other points. I never realized until this minute that I may have had a problem here with math.
Well, what we do at Hillside, too, is we can test for that. We can make a determination as to whether or not a student is on level for math or reading. And then we are able to place them in a class based on their ability. So if they're developmentally 10 years old and they're going in the fifth grade, but they're reading at the second grade level, we'll put them in a group of students that read at the second grade level so that they can then improve their reading skills.
Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier in the program was this multi-level sensory program where teachers are teaching on multi-sensory levels. Can you give us an example, perhaps, of how they would use that with math or to help those children who have difficulty with sensory awareness?
So with math, they have different manipulatives that they can use, and they can put it on the desk in front of them and actually physically hands-on handle some of the items that they're working with. For other things, for reading comprehension, we have computer software programs that kids use to help them understand how to map a story out or to get their thoughts down on paper, as I believe Nikki mentioned earlier. The program is called Inspiration, and what they do is it's a graphic web or a graphic map, and they can map out their thoughts and put them in an outline format and then later on come back to it and use that to help them write their paragraph or what they're writing on.
So what I'm sensing is that Hillside does everything in its power to help children with dyslexia, children with various levels of learning disabilities, to come to understand their problem and to use many levels of sensory awareness to help them learn.
Yes.
That's correct.
And if a parent would like to investigate the Hillside School for their child, based upon what they're hearing today, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, we're on the web. We have a website, hillsideschool.org. We also have social media, a Facebook page, a Twitter account. So you can follow us on Twitter. You can visit our Facebook page and like us. but you can also reach us. We have a phone number, 610-967-3701. Again, 610-967-3701. You can call that number, and we can set up a tour. you can come in and see what we do, and Nicole would be there to help you out with that.
And how about how this is a charter school, is this correct? Is Hillside considered a charter? What kind of school?
It is not a charter school. We are an independent school.
An independent school. So how would people find out about how to finance, you know, getting assistance for finances?
That is part of our admissions process. We do have children who come to us, and their families do apply for financial aid, and it is needs-based. So it goes right along with our admissions application.
So that there is an opportunity to find out and to become acquainted with the Hillside School if you feel your child has a problem. Thank you, David Mendeluski, head of the Hillside School in Bukunji, and Nicole Cadwalader, the mother of a 12-year-old who has dyslexia and dysgraphia and who is also the admissions director at Hillside, for helping us to understand what language-based learning disabilities are and what we as parents can do to help our children if we feel they are having a reading issue, and how we can advocate and support our students both in school and at home so that they can cope with their disability and yet remain empowered to succeed in school and know that they can achieve their goals, whatever they may be. Thank you to the Hillside School for their motto. Where children with learning disabilities succeed. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.